The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Opposition NDC refuses to back down on its position not to sign a peace pact ahead of the elections, telling the Peace Council, quote, "We don't accept your plea to let bygones be bygones." We've been hearing from the party chairman today as the Peace Council attempted to secure a truce. Details as the Peace Council is pleading with the NDC to reverse their decision not to sign a peace pact.
Our plea is, let us let bygone be bygone. Not that we forget it. No sensible person can forget his past. Because the past can always guide us as we move ahead. But we can shelve it with the hope that, yes, we will be able to do better. We have what it takes to do much better than we are doing now.
We have the very latest from the NDC headquarters, where the Peace Council has been meeting party executives. And Top Story is always brought to you by Telecel, connecting energy's holy insecticide spray and coil. Enjoy a holy sleep. Tonight, the National Democratic Congress holds firm its position not to sign a peace pact ahead of the elections, telling the Peace Council, quote, "We don't accept your plea to let bygones be bygones." The party's chairman, Jones Nasiru Nketiah, insists there is no need to commit to any document that is lesser than the law. The party took the stance at a meeting with the National Peace Council a while ago. More that shortly, but first listen to the member of the Peace Council, Mauvi Bin Salem, pleading to the NDC to cooperate with them ahead of the elections.
We don't have any message apart from the fact that we have come to court your brotherliness, your friendship, your patriotic, you know, credentials and whatnot, so that we collectively put our acts together and ensure and try to see that this country doesn't continue sinking as it is. Any Ghanaian who is correct up here, excuse me to say, who cannot have the audacity to say that Ghana is not sinking. We see it, we feel it. But then who caused it? Did it start today? Was it just yesterday that it started? But if we should go back to dwell only on those ones, we'll be neglecting the way forward, the forward march, which will lead us to the progressive Ghana, a peaceful Ghana. As we said today, even with all the challenges that we have now, our neighbors in West Africa here, throughout Africa, they still see Ghana as a safe haven. And they would wish they had a country like Ghana and had people like Ghanaians, had political parties like Ghanaian political party leadership just like the Ghanaian political party leadership. Those are their wishes. Unfortunately, they don't have it. So they envy us. So in a nutshell, when the chairman picked the gavel, I thought he was going to signal me that I'm talking too much and I must end it here. So really, we've come with open hearts to tell you that we are prepared to accept whatever shortcomings that you have seen in us. We are also prepared to receive your pieces of advice. And God willing, we would not be coming to verbally convince you that, yes, we have listened and then we are doing the best that we can. But we believe that practically you will see it manifest and manifested clean and clearly for each and every one of us to see. But for now, our plea is, let us let bygone be bygone. Not that we forget it. No sensible person can forget his past, because the past can always guide us as we move ahead. But we can shelve it with the hope that, yes, we would be able to do better. We have what it takes to do much better than we are doing now. And that must be collaborative. We're looking at a situation where will this friendship, brotherly, sisterly atmosphere that we have with the functional members, committee members of the National Democratic Council, we're looking forward to meeting the NPP the same way, but rather looking forward to being a bigger platform in which the NDC and NPP functional committee members would be able to meet and with us present, and so that we ponder over issues that concern our country.
Well, so that is the Peace Council's spokesperson today at this particular meeting, Malvi Binsali, pleading with the NDC to let bygones be bygones. Well, we heard from the chairman of the NDC, John Sasudin Kitia, who laid down six conditions, including getting the president, the IGP, the chief justice, and the AG to all sign the document.
I have listened to your plea, but we don't accept the fact that we should let bygones be bygones. Because crime has no expiry date. The people who have been killed and maimed are people's fathers, breadwinners, sisters, and so on. And the cases are alive. People are calling for justice. And they are blaming us for restraining them not to fight back in self-defense. Because we believed in peace as a political party, and when those things were happening, we restrained our people with the hope that the law would take its course. We have learned bitterly that for the past 5 years, the law has not taken its course. So there is no need to commit to any document that is lesser than even the law itself. So, but we are all interested in peace. This is the only country we have.
Yeah.
And we always pride ourselves as being the midwives of the 1992 democracy, the fourth Republican democracy. There are people here who participated in writing the Constitution. There are people here who participated in the transitional processes from military rule to constitutional democracy. And we are the last people to expect that anything will happen to blow up our democracy, because our grandchildren will have history to write and pride themselves that, oh, my grandfather has his signature in the constitution as a constitutional father. And we believe that that history must not be lost. The history must still remain that we created the 1992 Constitution that paved the way for a return to multi-party democracy. But we cannot sign to conditions which, in our honest belief, will not contribute to the sustenance of that democracy. If things are happening which we feel will undermine that constitution, we cannot be part of it. if we assent to it, it means that we will be guilty of participating in the disruption of our democracy. That is why we are speaking up to let the wrongs be corrected so that the democracy can be saved. And so we believe that Ayahuasca was what going to happen. There was a commission. There were recommendations. The recommendations have not been implemented so far. Condition number one is that let us see full implementation of the recommendations of Ayahuasca West Wogon Commission of Inquiry, which was established by His Excellency Nana Addo-Dankwa Akufo-Addo himself. And we believe that he trusted in the judgment of the commissioners. That is how come some of them have proceeded to be Supreme Court judges. Number two, we want to see initiation of prosecution in respect of the perpetrators of the killings in Techiman South, Ablikuma Central, Banda, and Ododododio. We want to see prosecution initiated in respect of the illegal printing and handling of about 1 million extra ballot papers that were intercepted and were destroyed by the police in our presence, and the records were taken. We don't see what the Ghana Police Service has been waiting for all these years. And even at some point, there was an orchestration to lie on us that we rather were guilty of that crime. And so we officially sent our lawyers to report to the IGP that we are interested in that case. It must be investigated and then prosecutions done when found necessary. We have not heard anything about it. We want action on it now. Otherwise, the next election, the same people can go and now print more than 2 million. Number four, there is an active case of missing IT equipment from the warehouses of the Electoral Commission. The Electoral Commission has not been open to us. We suspect that the equipment is not missing, and they are being hidden for some unwholesome agenda. Because anytime we talk about it, they say the suspects have been arrested. And that's all. Were the suspects arrested and the exhibits found on them, or we still don't know the whereabouts of the equipment, and that the suspects are being held responsible for being the war dogs? We don't have any information about it. And we are going into election, and the same equipment is going to be used in the election ahead of us. So we want transparency about that. Because of that, we have our confidence in the IT systems at the Electoral Commission has been shaken. And we have a history in 2012 where our colleagues from MPP found it necessary to compel the state and our development partners to field an external consultant to actually investigate the whole IT setup of the Electoral Commission and brought out recommendations for implementation before the election took place. Our friends from UNDP, I'm sure you will get the evidence on your files that that project was financed by the UNDP. I think we can look at that one so that to put our hearts at rest, that nothing on top.
America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. By honoring your sacred vocation of education, you impact your family, your friends, and your community. At Grand Canyon University, our online bachelor's, master's, and doctoral education degree programs allow you to balance online coursework with observational and hands-on experience in the field. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
What is happening in the face of missing equipment and the type of things that are happening, discrepancies between registration figures and all that. We must ensure and assure our supporters that nothing fishy is happening there. Because we know that the last commissioner that was appointed, Mr. Apiahene, was a regional election director of the NPP before his appointment. So we wrote to produce evidence of his activities, his appointments, and all that, presented them that a full member of NPP cannot be a referee in these elections. We presented evidence. They were ignored. He is still there. And consultants have been engaged to support the Electoral Commission on our blind side, because procurement of consultancy services is a public procurement activity. We are not aware that any such procurement had gone through the procurement procedures for everybody to know that these consultants actually mean well and they are the non-partisan type of consultants that are helping the Electoral Commission with their IT systems. And we want, point number five, the president to declare openly on a state platform, not on his political party platform, that he will respect the will of the people as expressed by the outcome of the 2024 December election results. When the president himself does an open declaration, I'm sure it will bring to rest, it will put to rest all the noise that is happening around us about their refusal or unpreparedness to hand over power, even if we they lose the elections. The voice of the leader counts, so that he will rein in all these functionaries and appointees that we are all working according to the will of the people. Then finally, before any such document, peace pact, is submitted to us for signature, we want to see the IGP signing to that document. We want to see the Chief Justice signing to that document. We want to see the Attorney General signing to that document. And we want to see the National Security Coordinator signing to that document. If all of them sign, and the monitoring group commits itself to the policy of naming and shaming publicly anybody who reneges on his obligation as far as implementation of the electoral laws of this country are concerned, we think that we will have the way forward. Thank you very much.
And that there is John Singh Asiyodin Kitia. He is the national chairman of the NDC, laying out the six conditions based on which they will consider signing a peace pact. And as you may recall, it was last week when we broke that story on PM Express when he announced that the party will not be signing a peace pact this year. Now he's laid the conditions that will get them to reconsider that position. They include a full implementation of the Ayawaso West Wagon Commission report, full prosecution of persons found culpable in the killing of the Techiman South voters in the last elections. The EC, it says, the missing biometric verification devices, they want full transparency there. He also talks about the president must declare openly that he will respect the will of the people at the end of the elections, but also, finally, that before any document is submitted to them to sign, it must first be signed by the IGP, the Chief Justice, the National Security Coordinator, the Attorney General too, must all sign first. Thankfully, we can speak to George Amu. He's Executive Secretary of the National Peace Council. They went to see the NDC today in an attempt to get them to back down on that declaration that was first made by the National Chairman on PM Express last week. He joins me on the line right now. Thank you, sir, for your time here on Top Story. So you've heard the conditions. How are you approaching resolution as far as these six conditions are concerned?
Okay.
Hello, Mr. Amu, can you hear me?
Hello.
Yes. Can you hear me, sir?
Evans, yes, I can hear you.
Great. The six conditions that the national chairman of the NDC laid before you today, how are you dealing with them?
All right. Thank you so much. I think it was a good start. We are mediators. We have to appreciate the positions of parties that have issues before us. So their position has been outlined in the six points that you just mentioned. So we would have to negotiate them. That is how we started. We'll be with the MPP. We are hoping that in the next few days we are going to engage with the New Patriotic Party, as well as other key actors in the field, and we are hopeful that we'll be able to surmount any challenges that we have. It is in our interest so to do, to assure not only this generation, but those who will follow us, that this we did the right thing. When the matter was most needed, I think we will rise up to the occasion. The board and the committee that have been set up would look into these issues and respond to them courteously.
So that your plan is to negotiate with the NDC around these six conditions.
Ivan, I didn't get that list.
Just clarifying, your plan is to negotiate with the NDC around these six conditions.
Yes, you have to negotiate. It's a position that they have given. Negotiation means that you would have to discuss. We may not be able to meet all the requirements, but if that is the essence of mediation. So, yes.
Because I asked that question so I can get clarity. The objective of the renegotiation is for them to consider dropping some of the conditions?
No, but if you go to a negotiation table or if you espouse any position, unless it is court that you go to and the court will decide you win or you lose. But in a forum like that the Peace Council, the law allows us to operate, you would have to negotiate positions. And that is what we are going to do. We are going to negotiate it. I mean, if, for example, you want us to condemn or do something, yes, we will negotiate. What kind of approach that we should use? We must all agree. And it should not only be from one side. The other side must also come on board so that we all agree. You know, so in building consensus, you would have to give some, take some, and we all reach a common position that we may not be totally happy, but we should accommodate that this one, I went in for 10, I got 5 or I got 6. I mean, that is how we negotiate, and I think we are going to do exactly that.
And you just heard the national chairman start his address to you by saying they will not accept your proposal that they let bygones be bygones. I get the sense that they are not willing to negotiate around these 6 conditions, that this is non-negotiable.
Oh, I didn't get that sense. Non-verbal communication is also very, very important. So we were in the room. I think the people were there. I think that it is likely that positions will be shifted here and there for us to come to a compromise position. We have done that with NDC before. We have done that with other parties before. In respect of the NDC return to the Inter-Party Advisory Committee, not all the conditions that they placed before us were met, but somehow we came to a consensus, and they are back. I mean, for the good of our country. So let's hope, and we will do all that we can. I'm sure the board will meet over this matter, and all of you in your questionings, let us help, you know, to shape the country that we all want ourselves. And when we do that, I'm very confident that we have reasonable leaders who mean well for our country, and we will get there.
Do you though accept that the 6 conditions that they've laid and the concerns that are inherent in them are legitimate?
Oh, you know, I would not begrudge that at all. I think they are. You see, if you have a position, you see from a particular spectacle. And if we should go to the MPP or any other political party, they may also have a position. So that is where you have to negotiate, you see. And I am very confident that there are some of the issues that are doable. I mean, that the low-hanging fruit. You can easily deal with it. I mean, I don't want to mention any other, but there are some of them that we believe can be handled within our reach, that the committee can handle easily. There are others that you have to take some pains, negotiate with others, so that we're able to come to a common ground where all of us will win. And if we are all losing, then we all lose. But I think that we don't have to lose. We all have to win. I think that we are getting there. Today's event, I think, is good. If you are a mediator, if you are somebody who is in peace building, I think you would be happy. Avenging their grievances. It is a very good step, you know, for mediation to happen.
And do you accept the criticism? And a lot of what we heard today from the national chairman of the NDC is based on their dissatisfaction with the way yourselves and others in that same space asking for peace pacts to be signed have dealt with some of the issues they laid before you, and that you have failed to pursue to the logical conclusion, for example, subjects around the killings we saw in the last elections in Tuchiman South, the failure of the government, they pointed out to you to implement fully the Yawaso West Wagon Commission report and others. They believe you've been silent on that, and because of your silence, that's why they're now asking you to get these done before they consider resigning. You accept that criticism?
I think that if you just suppose, you know, those concerns against the mandate that the Peace Council has been given in the Establishment Act, then you can appreciate the probably the challenges that the Peace Council has to go through to get some of these things done. I think we also have to appreciate the institutional limitations and institutional arrangements we've done for ourselves. Where should the Peace Council's mandate begin, and where should it end, and where, when it ends, who takes over? For example, I think these things might be discussed very well. I think the idea I explained to you on your platform that the National Peace Council has been to the five constituencies where the issues happen. We have been there on two occasions for each place. And I would love if your reporters can go to any one of them and ask whether or not the Peace Council has been there. We have been there. And the tools we have to work is those ones I'm mentioning to you. Negotiation, mediation, you know. We use our mouths. We use to speak. As you use your pen and other ways to deliver your mandate. That is what we do, and that we have done very well. And we keep our regional office keep in touch with these areas. You can make the inquiry. So for us, I think we are doing something. And we think it's in the right direction.
And very quickly, you've indicated that you'll be meeting with the MPP next. What about the president?
Oh, the president, if it becomes necessary, why not?
You know, because one of the conditions is that the president must openly, the public forum, not on the political platform, declare that he will accept the results.
Well, but I will not be glad, but I know the Minister for Interior, Honorable Henry Kote, has said it not once, that the government would accept the outcome of the 2024 election. My minister has said it, I think not once. I've heard him publicly saying this. If you go through the records, you hear him say it. And he represents the president. So if he makes the commitment, I don't think that we should doubt it. Let us this country.
But is the president they want to hear from?
Are you sure somebody can say I won't hand over? I'm not sure that can happen now.
Well, the NDC is aware of that, but they still want the president to explicitly make that commitment publicly.
The committee will look at it. The board would have to look at that. And if per the assessment that would come as a result of that meeting, that is crucial for our democracy survival. I think the board will not shy away from asking a meeting with His Excellency the President.
Thank you very much. That there is George Omugwu, the Executive Secretary of the National Peace Council. We'll be hearing from the NDC pretty shortly. I want to also hear from you a major development in this whole campaign by the Peace Council and others to get the NDC to sign a peace pact ahead of the December 7 elections. What are your thoughts? You've heard the six conditions that has now been spelled out by the National Chairman of the NDC for signing that peace pact. This is Newsnight, still ahead here on the show. Organized Labour scale-up protest over pension funds as they demand a full takeover of the board chairmanship position of the Social Security and National Insurance Trust after President Akufo-Addo waded into the proposed controversial sale of his stake in some four hotels.
Perhaps bring into sharper relief the unnecessary controversy that was recently generated by SNIT's efforts to offload non-performing assets in its hotel portfolio.
At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.